Let's turn to chapter 43. Let's read verses 1 through 14. If you'd stand, please. I'll read the first verse, you read the second, and so on down through verse 14. And the famine was sore in the land. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.
If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and hide by the food.
But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.
And Israel said, Wherefore dealt he so with him?
And they said, The man asketh straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words, could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever.
For except we have lingered, surely now we have returned a second time.
And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels. And carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds.
And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought in the mouth of your sacks. Carry it in your hand, for it measure with the
money. Take also your brother, and arise, and go again unto the man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word we have in our hands. We thank you for the salvation that you have brought to our souls and to our minds and to our hope and all the surety and joy that comes with knowing you. I ask you to give me the freedom and ease that I need and the wisdom to bring a message that'll bless hearts and lives and bring honor to you. I pray for all of us here and all of our families and all that hear this word. May we be drawn into the center of your will. Now give us peace, Lord. Give us help. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I'm going to read Romans 8:28 again. If you haven't marked that in your Bibles yet, mark it. You need to know it. You need to go back to it time and time again, I think. Anything along Joseph's life is a perfect example and illustration of what Romans 8:28 says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He did not say everything works good for everybody. It's to the people of God. It's to the people of God. There's another verse that I would like for you to read, and it's Numbers 32:23. It's another one you ought to mark. He's warning his own people. God is warning his own people. These people have decided that the land on the other side of Jordan was good enough for them. And they decided, we don't need to go into the other land. We want this land. And he tells them they have to come in and fight with the others to get the land. And if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. I marked that probably the first year I was saved. And that's just one of those verses that's Like what you sow, you reap. Like a lot of other verses. There's just some great truth in the Word of God that you need to think about. And what we're dealing with when we deal with Joseph and his brethren and Jacob and whatever, is your sin will find you out. And you noticed it last week. We noticed a couple of times. And I remember pointing them out that they said, this is God. God's remembering what we did. Do you remember when our brother was crying to us? Remember when he pled with us? He said, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. You're my brothers. How can you do this to me? And they did it anyway. Now, they've had 13 years, or maybe 15 by this time, 15 years or so, to remember their sins. And let me tell you what, they didn't get away from that sin. That one haunted them. They couldn't sleep at night sometime thinking, I wonder where he is. I wonder what happened to him. Is he dead? Has he been beaten? Has he been sold? What's happened to him? We didn't know. Well, I in my thinking this week, and I guess it comes up all the time for me, I think the base root of all sin is selfishness. I think almost every marriage that breaks up, it's selfishness. It may be that both are selfish. Maybe one is just really selfish. But the self-centeredness and selfishness is the base root of almost every sin. What about the kid that comes up with a gun and says, give me $20 or give me your wallet or give me your watch? He's not caring about you. He's not caring about his mother or father. He's not caring about his family. All he wants is that $20 to go get his drugs or his beer or whatever. It's pure selfishness. And so we need to think about our lives. How selfish are we really? How selfish are you? Do you put your husband first? Do you put your wife first? Do you put your kids first? Do you put the Lord first? You know, if you're going to have jealousy, it comes from selfishness. Why would I be jealous? Because you've got something that I would like to be. You got something I would like to have. It's nothing but the selfishness on my part. And so the base root of putting people together is the marriage. You get a good marriage and you can work with anybody. But if you don't have a good marriage, it's just as sure as can be, you're going to have some troubles, not only in the marriage, you're going to have outside the marriage. You're going to have it with your kids and you're going to have it with your parents. And so it's the selfishness and learning to live for somebody else. Now, Jacob was a family man. Now, I think he did wrong. I think of him in his parenting that the favoritism he showed to Rachel and to Rachel's children was a very big mistake. And I think you as a parent ought to understand that. You can't show that selfishness like that and have really a good result to come out of it. And so he did that. But I think the boys over this 15 years or so, they've grown up. 15 years, their kids are grown. They're not kids anymore. And they see the hurt they did to their dad. I know it was every day because it says it. How he was just brokenhearted and then how he just favored Benjamin. And I don't think Benjamin was near the character that Joseph was. Joseph was just an unusual character, blessed by God and called by God. And I'm sure that Benjamin was a good boy or whatever, but it was a different thing. And they see their father and they realize what we did because we were jealous of Joseph and we thought he was a smart aleck or he thought he was better than the rest of us or whatever. Look what it caused. And then the guilt that would be with them time and time again. Do you have anything that you look back and every time you look at it, you're embarrassed? Amen. I do. Amen. I do. I have some things I did that when I look back on them, I'm just embarrassed. I don't want to tell you about them. I don't want you telling me about yours either. I got enough of my own to confess. I really don't need yours. But at any rate, 15 years... They think about something. Little something goes wrong. They stub their toe in the road. Well, maybe that was because. Huh? You ever think that way? Sure you do. Sure you do. You know why? Not only selfishness, let me say something else. Payday's coming. You know what happens? It's payday's coming. You think you get away with a lot of things? Oh, you don't get away with much. You think you do, but you really don't. Payday's coming. Sooner or later, it comes back up on you. Why? I think because of sowing and reaping. And I think about that God's a God of laws. His number one first law is gravity. Nobody understands it, but boy, we're limited by it. We live by it, and we don't understand it. And yeah, that ought to make you think God's smart. God's powerful. Well, this sins and selfishness and foolishness that come back upon us, we get a chance to repent of them over and over again.
Thank you, Lord.
You know something? I'm thankful that God forgives sin. Now, coming back over here, let's go back into chapter 42. And at verse 29, they came unto Jacob their father unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell unto them, saying, this man, the man who is the Lord of the land. How about that? You know what they recognized? He's Lord of the land. They didn't know that was Joseph, but they said, we know who he is. He's the boss. He's the big boss. He spake roughly to us. You big sissy. He spake roughly to us. Now, you spake roughly to him a little while before. And took us for spies in the country. How do you like being accused of what you're not? I always hated that. I just, man, get me for whatever I do, but don't get me for what I didn't do, you know? Called us spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not. They were talking to Joseph there. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that you're true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me. Take food for the famine in your households and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that you're true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and you shall traffic in the land. It came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. What is happening to us? I mean, this is over and over and over again. And they know this man in Egypt has power to hurt them. He has power where they live, where they get enough food to live. They're afraid of that man in Egypt, and they're also afraid of God, which they should have been. Okay, verse 36. Jacob their father said unto them, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away, and all these things are against me. Now, I think that Reuben is not the smartest one in the deck. Listen to this. Reuben spake unto his father and said, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. Of course, Jacob said, my son's not going to go down with you. I'm a grandfather, and I'm a great-grandfather. If one of my kids didn't please me, I sure wouldn't kill his kid. Can you imagine making a statement like that? I can't. And you may can reason with me and think, well, Lendl, you didn't see it this way. Reuben, come on. That's just dumb. Now, what Judah says later on, what we read here a while ago, is much better, much wiser. And Judah's the one that wanted to sell him, get the money for him. He was wicked in the whole deal here. But slay my two sons? If my child disobeyed me, I would not kill my grandchildren. Would you? Can you even think of that? To me, it just blows my mind that he would even make such a statement. It's recorded in the Bible for you to see. Okay, Jacob is adamant. My son will not go down with you. You got me on the other one. Of course, he didn't know that, but you're not going to get this one. That's all I have left of Rachel. Rachel didn't have six kids. She had two. She died in childbirth on Benjamin. He's the baby. He's the youngest. And he's all that's left of Rachel because Joseph is gone. And so, here's a man, and this is one of the problems of multiple marriages, multiple wives. There's jealousy, and there's a favoritism, and there's a lot of things like that that you have to deal with. And when you're dealing with it, you cause a lot of problems for people to live. Just take a look out at the world around you, your neighborhood, maybe your even family. Look at the troubles. Look at the troubles. Look at people and what they're going through. And they have mental issues because of it. They have depression because of it. Some people commit suicide because of these different things. This is a lot of garbage in our lives that's brought in there because of sin. Why in the world should we preach against sin? Why don't you quit preaching against sin? Sin is what hurts you. Why is God against sin? Just because he's a mean God, because he likes to make rules and wants to make people pay for it. No. Anything God calls a sin is going to hurt you. Amen. Or going to hurt your wife or children, going to hurt your grandchildren. Maybe three or four generations down in your life. The Bible says it several times. They made a study years ago of the children of a great preacher up in the north and the children of a criminal, a murderer that went to prison. And they took them down generations. This great preacher, his children were doctors, preachers, professors, fine families. Four and five, six generations down his life. This criminal, 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 criminal.
Amen.
You think what you do doesn't matter? You think you can be just selfish and you can just do what you want to do and you don't have to obey rules, you don't have to get along with the boss, you don't have to pay for this or that? It matters. What you do matters. Bless your heart, you need to be pointing your children to Christ. Amen. And you need to be living where they believe you. Let me tell you what, the greatest psychologists in the world are children. They know how to work you. They know. You know, that's the truth. They know how to work you. They just got it naturally. And we all grow up that way. Some of us at 60 years old are still working our thing to get our way, to have the upper hand, to be selfish, to be jealous, whatever. Hey, anything God says is wrong, that doesn't mean I like it. I don't like hell, but I got to preach about hell every once in a while because that's what I got saved because I was scared of hell. And if you're not scared of hell, I think you're stupid. I think if you can just live your life and say, well, so-and-so, whatever, the big man upstairs, you know, you're an idiot. All you got to do is take a look around. Somebody a whole lot smarter than you made everything. Whole lot smarter than you. Hey, a whole lot more powerful than you. And let me ask you, who do you have as a go-between between you, you sniveling little rat, you piece of slime, you roach? Who's your go-between you and God? Without Jesus Christ, you don't have one.
Amen.
That's what my book says.
Amen.
That's what I believe. I don't believe Mary can help you. I don't think Paul can help you. I don't think Peter can help you. I don't think anybody's saint can help you. I don't think there is any statue, whether it's made out of granite or porcelain or something else, can hear your prayer.
Amen.
I don't believe he can help you with God. Nobody loves you more than God loves you.
Amen.
Nobody. Get that out of your head. God loves you more than anybody else.
Thank you, Lord.
And you ought to respect that. And bless your heart. I know we're tempted in all sorts of ways. Every one of us in here is sinful. Even if your sins are forgiven, you're still not perfect. And for you to think you can get to heaven by being better than somebody else, you are sadly mistaken. That's just not the truth. So, when I look at this thing and I think about their selfishness, their jealousy, their anger to sell their brother into slavery brought down the happiness of their father. They did not realize how much the happiness of the father meant to them. Even if they weren't his favorite, boy, they got along a whole lot better when Joseph was around. But no, we got all these years and daddy's sad and daddy's going walking around with a frowny face and daddy's favoring Benjamin. They saw it. They saw it every day for 15 years. And they grew up. You know, isn't it a wonderful thing that you've grown up and you're not still a teenager? I would hate to be a teenager in this generation. I'm sorry if any of you are young. You got problems, boy. You got some real problems in this society we're living in that I don't know how anybody's going to make it in. Terrible, the temptations and trials that we have. All right. The famine was sore in the land. Hey, famine hadn't stopped. Now, they went down there about 2 years after the famine was going, and they made a trip. They stayed out a little bit, and then they've gone back down there again, and then he took their brother. Do you think Joseph felt bad about taking Simeon away from him and putting him in jail? I bet he didn't. He spent a lot of years, didn't he? Well, I don't know how long they were away, but Simeon's in jail the whole time they're away. Joseph wasn't going down there and feeding him. Joseph wasn't down there comforting him or praying with him or doing anything like that. No. He just took one of them. Why he picked Simeon, I don't know. Maybe you can study that out. I haven't figured that out yet. Here's old Simeon. He gets a little jail time. How long are they away? Well, long enough to eat up everything they'd bought. Now they're hungry again. And the brothers come to Dad and they say, Dad, we got to go. And he said, no, you're not going to take my son. Joseph is not. Simeon is not. Now you want me to give you Benjamin. And then you have the stupid statement by Reuben. Slay my two sons if I bring him not to thee. Goodness gracious. What are you thinking, Reuben? Jacob's not that way. He's not going to slay his two grandsons. Now, they've eaten up the corn. And Judah came to him, stepping up. This man, Judah, is a different man right now than he was 15 years ago. And he spake up. And he said, that man said, you shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Now, if you'll send our brother with us, we'll go down and buy thee food. I want you to notice they still look upon him with respect. You don't have the disrespect that we see in a lot of generations today. These are grown men with maybe grown children. They're family men. They know how to work. They know how to buy. They're rich men. Got plenty of money, got plenty of cattle and stuff like that. He said, we can't go, Dad. If you will send him down, we will go. If you don't send him, we won't go. And they said, the man asked us straightly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? Oh, man. Here's Joseph. He don't want to really reveal himself to him, but he's wondering. Hey, Daddy was old. When I was gone, Daddy wasn't a young chicken. And so, is he still alive? Do you have a brother? He knew he had a brother. Does he have somebody else? He asked him about the family, and he's pretty smart. And Joseph shows himself very intelligent throughout this whole thing. The way that he handled it, the way that he tested. What we're looking at is the testing of the character of men. Have they grown up? Have they recognized what they did was wrong? Would they do it again the same way? No, they wouldn't have. I don't believe by this time and what they'd gone through, they would have done what they did when they did it. And now Joseph is trying to find out. He's going to see what they're going to do. So what he has one of their brothers, not him, but another brother, Simeon, and he's in jail, wondering why he's in jail, worried about being in jail, wondering if his brothers will ever come back for him or will they sell him out like they did Joseph. So you got some testing going on here. So here in verse 9 of chapter 43, he said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we'd have returned a second time. Now here is Judah, and he's not the same man he was 15 years ago. And he gives himself responsibility for Benjamin. I will take care of him. I'll bring him back to you. If not, I'll bear the blame. I think that's a much more intelligent, reasonable proposition than what Reuben had given him. So, he said, if we hadn't waited, we'd already had more food. Got to make another trip. So they took double money and they took a present. And they went back. Look at verse 15. They took the present, took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and Joseph brought the men into Joseph's house. Wow. They brought Benjamin. And when he saw him, when he saw Benjamin, he said, wow. Now you notice they didn't have any deep freezes. What are you going to do when you get company? Slay. Some of us are so modernistic, we don't know how to kill a chicken. You understand me? And you don't know what to do with killing a pig. How are you going to keep that meat until you can eat it all? I remember when I was young, well, we need chicken. Go catch a chicken. You went out there and catch the chicken and wrung its neck off. Take him by his legs, drop him down in boiling water, a big pot on the fire outside, and you put him in there, and then you peeled him off, and we did not eat the skin of the chicken. My daddy thought Kentucky Fried Chicken? He said, that is a very smart man. He makes you eat the skin. Now, I grew up, I never ate the skin in my house. I do now, but that's because I buy Kentucky too. But you went out and you killed that chicken, drained the blood out of it, boiled it, then you took all the feathers off of it. By the way, you made pillows and you made mattresses out of those feathers that you got off that chicken. You saved them up, and you used them all. And you carry them inside, and boy, they would cut that thing up, and they would put it in batter and fry it. Oh, great chicken. Some of you would starve to death because you can't kill anything. Amen. I wonder if you ever kill a roach. Do you kill roaches and rats, or are those traps evil? We live in a funny generation. I mean, you don't even know where your food's coming from. Is that right? Amen. All right. He said, slay and make ready. What do you mean? He's got 11 men out there with him. Or no, 10 men. I guess they're going to get Simeon out of jail. So he'll have 11 men. And I don't know if they had anybody else with them or not. But he said, send them to my house, slay and eat. There were animals being kept in the barn, being fed in the barn. The fatted calf that was there around for the prodigal son, It was sitting there waiting until we needed it. That's what it was. And Joseph had the same thing down in Egypt. There were no refrigerators. There were no ice machines. There were no deep freezes. There were no canned goods. You understand? It's something else. Slay and eat. And they brought the men down to Joseph's house, and the men were afraid. They've been afraid this whole time. Have you noticed that? Over and over again, they're afraid. Man, I'm telling you, a guilty conscience will just drive you nuts.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
Everybody in here has been guilty, right?
Amen.
Anybody here, some sweet little thing says, I've never been guilty. I don't believe it. Everybody's been guilty. And how do you feel when you're guilty? Goodness gracious, you can't enjoy anything. You're always ready for the anvil to drop. Where is it coming from? Wow. So he gets them down and said, they brought their sacks back in. They came near, verse 19, they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn, we opened our sacks and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food, and we cannot tell who put the money in our sacks. Now listen to his answer, verse 23. Peace be to you, fear not. Now this is the guy that knows where everything's coming from. This is the guy that Joseph left everything in his hands and said, put their money back in their sack, each man's money back in his sack, each time that he's done. He knows the whole thing. Listen to him. Peace be to you, fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto him. Wow. Joseph has been testing them. He's got another test coming. Joseph has been testing them. What kind of men are my brothers? Now, why would he have the right to do that? Do you reckon? Because of the way his brothers had treated him. Do you know what you know? What you've experienced. If you haven't experienced much, like a lot of young teenagers, they think they're smarter than all the old folks, especially their mother and dad. They've got to be smarter than their mother and dad, those dumb people. Wow, wow. They just haven't lived long enough. Joseph had seen their pity. Didn't have any. Joseph had seen their treatment of their brother. Wasn't very good. He's wondering, I've changed. You don't think Joseph has changed? He's changed. 13 years of slavery in prison. That'll change a man. I guarantee you, it'll change a man. It's not any fun thing to do. Have my brothers changed? How do they handle their brothers? How do they handle their father? And that's what he's doing. And he said, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure. I had your money. Brought Simeon out unto them, verse 24, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, gave them water. They washed their feet. He gave their asses provender. And they made ready to present him against Joseph. Came at noon, for they heard that he should eat bread there. Verse 26. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him. Do you notice that? That's the second time. That's the second time they bowed themselves to him. You remember that 17-year-old who had these visions and dreams about all his brothers bowing to him? You know that flooded him right there. Boom. God's real. God's right. My dreams were perfect. Everything's all right. God's on the throne. His word is true. I'm headed for glory. I'm going for a mansion in glory land and not a cabin, bless your heart. I might not deserve even a tent, but I'm going to a mansion. Here he is. Wow. Okay. And the Egyptians did eat with them by themselves. See, Joseph is eating with the Egyptians. His brothers are at another table eating with themselves. Verse 33. And they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one at another. How does this guy know this? How does he know the firstborn? They're all grown men. You know, I went down and preached in Mexico for a while. Billy and I were down there. And some of them asked me if he was my brother. I really liked that. I told him, yes, he was my older brother. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. The men marveled one at another. They said, how did he know that Reuben's the firstborn? How does he know about Benjamin? I don't know how old Benjamin was at this time. Looked like he'd probably been pretty good size. They marveled one at another, and he took and sent messes unto them before them. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. Okay, we're going to have you down here. Now, Reuben, now here's a nice plate for you. Benjamin down here, give him five plates. Just eat all you want, boy. Just have a blast. You're on a party. Don't they say party now? Benjamin's having a party. He's got all that food coming all his way. And then it said, they drank and were merry with him. Look at chapter 44. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth. He's done this over and over and over again. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses, and when they were gone out of the city, not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby he divineth? You've done evil in so doing. And he overtook them, he spake unto them these same words. They said unto him, wherefore hath my Lord these, saith my Lord these words? God forbid that my servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sack's mouth, we brought again unto thee of the land, out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we will also will be my Lord's bondmen. He said, now also let it be according to your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Man, what a trap is being set. And they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest, left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Do you still hate my mother? Are you still jealous of what how my father loved my mother? The cup's in Benjamin's sack. Benjamin's going to be carried away. Wow. You talk about setting it up. This is a beautiful setup. Now, Joseph was a smart fellow. You got to give him credit. It's everywhere you look at Joseph, he comes out on top. You make him a slave, he's the best slave. You make him a servant, he's the best servant. You let him run your house, it runs it better than you can. Put him in a prison, before long he's running the prison. He's doing all the things. He just got it made. You talk about a guy blessed by God and gifted by God and intelligent. And look at the trap he set right here. Here's his little brother, the last of Rachel's. He said, what are you going to do with him when his life is on the line? What are you going to do with him? You going to sell him? You going to desert him? You going to let him just take his licks and go on your way? Wow. Tremendous, tremendous trap. Tremendous test. Wow, are these people changed? And they rent their clothes. Every man his ass. Laid every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was not yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? What? That means know ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? Notice this next sentence. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servant. Here it is again. You better get your sins forgiven or you're not going to have much rest. You ever figured that out? You get your sins forgiven. You take, keep short accounts. The Bible tells you, don't go to bed without getting things taken care of. That'd be pretty good for husband and wife. Don't go to bed angry. Get things taken care of. Keep short accounts with God. You don't want these old long accounts. You don't want these old grudges. You don't want these old sins. I get tired of preachers preaching on sin. I get tired of it. So what? God gets tired of you sinning. Hey, maybe some of the rest of us do too. Maybe I don't like the way you dress. I don't think you're very spiritual the way you dress. Maybe I don't like what you spend your money on. So what? We got to put up with one another. The marriage is like the church. You got to put up with one another. You didn't marry somebody just like you. Verlaine made a statement. She said, every woman she knew was married to an incompatible man. Now, that's a big statement. Every woman she knew. And then she listed all the ways she was incompatible with me. I read it every once in a while. Sort of funny. But that's what you have to do. You have to put up with one another. Well, a church like this, how far can we go if you don't put up with me? I don't put up with you. How far do we go? Well, you see how it happens. They don't care whether I come to their church or not. Well, no, really, we don't. Oh, you're going to make such a statement. Well, if you're going to be like that, I don't want you going to cause me trouble. I don't want trouble. I want peace. I want heaven. I want no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Woo! Isn't heaven going to be wonderful? Paul said it's far better to go be with Christ than it is to hang around with you bunch. But I got to stay here because evidently I'm needed. I'm not sure I'm still needed, but Paul was. You know what? Judah's going to step up to the plate. Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? This is verse 16, 44. What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Do you know, God never was ignorant. I'm amazed at what people think they can do with the lights out and they don't think anybody sees. God sees everything. God knows every thought in your stupid head. I know I'm not supposed to say stupid. Your ignorant head then. God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he, also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, go in peace to your father. Wow. Wow. He brought it around. He's brought it around. He's sticking it to him just as straight as he can. No, you can all leave. Just Benjamin. What are you going to do about that? Hey, brothers, what you going to do about that? just Benjamin. I don't want all of you. That would be unfair of me. That wouldn't be right. I mean, the boy that had the cup, he's my servant. Rest of you free. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I think my time's up. So maybe I'll start next week. God bless you.